You found Wisconsin's local music authority. This is Mag Zinc Radio. We are local music.
Brad Van, he's been living two lives. One is a founder and guitarist and vocalist for local legendary stoner rock band Droids Attack, and the second running classic arcade machines in Wisconsin since the late 90s. He opened his first location of Aftershock Classic Arcade on the north side of Madison in the year 2000, and now Aftershock is the largest arcade bar in the state with over 100 arcade machines and two party rooms.
Nice.
Brad Van, welcome to Mag Zinc Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me, man.
So, Brad, I noticed that you are still using your AOL email.
Yes.
What's up? Everybody's on Gmail, and now you're on AOL.
Yeah. Well, I've always had it, and when my band first started, I just started, you know, using that screen name, and I just never got rid of it.
You know, and it's the contacts, right? Moving the contacts from one place to another is impossible.
Yeah. Well, I got a Gmail account, but I just forward it to my AOL.
That'll work, too. It's like a big circle. It's a big circle, you know.
I'm a creature of habit, man. I'm real consistent. What can I say?
Oh, that's funny. I know. Well, I've known Brad for so many years, and we definitely corresponded over chat many times on AOL, right? I was on AOL way back in the beginning.
Do they still have chat?
I think so. I haven't used AOL chat in like the longest time. Yeah, I mean, LOL.
Somehow it just connects.
LOL, that comes from AOL chat, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, all that stupid stuff, yeah.
It's funny. Brad, I've been following your music career since the mid-90s, and tell us a little bit about Brad Van, the musician. I mean, you started on drums, and now you're founder, singer, and guitarist for Droids Attack.
Yeah. I wanted to be a drummer in a band, and all the bands that I ever joined as the drummer, eventually they would break up, and I'd put all this work into like putting my parts down. I mean, I know you probably know what that's like, right?
I do.
You're a drummer. And I just kind of thought, man, you know, I should probably learn how to play guitar if I want to be in a project that I can take with me.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. I decided I wanted to keep playing music because it's one of my favorite things to do. And so I started learning how to play guitar. Like I started like when I was 18, and by the time I got good enough to start kind of playing the music I really wanted to play, like I started off playing, you know, like my old band Daisy Head Maisie that you're familiar with, was kind of more like a strummy, you know, like open chord kind of singer songwriter stuff. Yep. Very like alt rock kind of influenced. But I really wanted to play like the heavier stuff, you know, like I was really into Helmet, Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, you know, bands like that. And Tool. When I started learning how to pick, you know, a little better and riff a little more, I started taking it into that different direction. I decided the name didn't fit anymore, so I wanted to do Droids Attack and keep that sound as consistent as I could.
Man. That's a great story. I remember, wasn't it you played drums for Jolly Naked Fisherman, was it?
Yep. We started that band, I might have been 16, 17, I can't remember.
Did you guys play naked or what?
No, it was just, you know.
They only fished naked.
We came up with that name. We were, you know how it is when you've got like four guys and you're trying to come up with something. I think we all just wrote down a bunch of words. And we just sort of came up with that and thought it was funny. It made us laugh, so we stuck with it.
Now, excuse me, I grew up in the 80s. I spent many rolls of quarters playing Asteroids and Robotron at the local bowling alley. And what was your favorite game, and what inspired you to start preserving classic arcade machines and keeping the classic arcade experience alive?
Well, you know, one of the first games I remember was Pac-Man.
Yeah.
I was like very young when video games first hit, and they were all the rage. I remember I was like at a bowling alley playing Pac-Man with my aunt, and I just I don't know. I just remember that one. That was the first arcade machine I ever bought.
yeah.
So that's a favorite of mine just because of the, you know, like the memories. But, you know, Joust, Tempest, a lot of those games, Zaxxon, you know, I could go on. I really, really just dig arcades. And, you know, back then you could go anywhere and there would be a machine. So whatever it was, I'd want to check it out and play it. And, you know, over the years, I just kind of, yeah, I was just in that scene. So I knew what games were cool. And, when, the arcade industry was in the decline, back in the late 90s, they were just giving these things away. I bought my first Pac-Man machine at a Euro restaurant on Williamson Street for $100. And I was like, man, if I could buy this game for $100, I'm going to start an arcade. And so I did. And my first arcade was on Northport Drive. And yeah, it was, you know, I just spent about, I don't know, 3 years collecting about 50 machines when I opened that place.
How did you learn how to fix them?
Well, you know, back then it was a lot harder. There was this message group I was on called Recreational Games Video Arcade Collecting, so RGVAC. And there were a lot of other collectors on there. And, you know, you'd say, hey, I've got a Pac-Man machine and the monitors, you know, looks like this. And somebody would tell you what to look for. And eventually, you know, like I met my technician, Al. And him and I have been working together since I bought my second machine. I bought it from him. He had it in his kitchen. A game called Rolling Thunder by, well, Atari put it out, but it's a Namco game. And it's a great game. Love that game. Ever since then, he's been helping me fix games. Now he works at the arcade. Back then, you couldn't really find a lot of parts if you weren't in any sort of scene like that. There were not any, like, you know, like emulation and everything was there, but it wasn't like, you know, Raspberry Pi
right.
or any of these things that people do now to, you know, like make games at their home, like cabinets and things. Parts, people make, you know, reproduction parts now. It's a lot easier now than it was back then.
You were definitely one of the pioneers of that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Brad, Aftershock has been at several locations, as you said, over on the north side. That was behind Young Garden Center.
Yeah.
And now you've settled on East Washington Avenue here in Madison with more than 100 games and 2 party rooms. Yeah. Tell us about your arcade.
It's like, you know, just... I've been wanting to have like either like a pizzeria or a bar or something. So, you know, I've been looking for partners over the years and I finally found one, when, that wanted to do a bar with me. And so, you know, at this time though, this is like, I don't know, 20 years or so. I can't remember how long it's been. And, I had so many games and we needed a big space. I just was like, I have more games than we can fit in the space. So we got a full bar, a lot of games that you can't find anywhere else.
That's right. I know, cause I've looked, I've played a couple of them.
Yeah. We have, you know, it's kind of more like a museum than it is like a straight up arcade.
Yeah, but it's a working museum, right?
Yeah.
It does bring back, you know, many memories, honestly, when you walk around and you see that the graphics sometimes are just, you know, the actual physical game.
Yeah.
Or a pinball machine.
Sure. Yeah. We got about 21 pinball machines and the rest, we got like skee ball, we got air hockey, you know, like a lot of the typical stuff, you know, that you find at other arcades. But then, you know, we'll have like, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. We'll have
Missile Command.
Oh yeah, we got Missile Command. We got
Robotron.
Oh yeah, those are very like those are like the core classics. Yeah. You need to have those, but you know you can't really you don't see Dragon's Lair. You know, at a lot of these places, you don't see, you know, like Pac-Land or you know like you know some of these more kicks. You know, Discs of Tron. I don't think anybody else has a Disc of Tron in Wisconsin.
Do you remember the tabletop football games that you'd have Trackball,
yeah.
Trackball.
The Atari, yeah. We've got some cocktail table games. We've got I put them out and like as tables for people to use them as tables, but they don't seem to understand. Like, you can't use this as a table. Like, it's a vintage game. I'm like, yes,
get your beer off there.
I used to use this as a table all the time at Pizza Hut when I was a kid.
Is it still a quarter?
Oh, yeah. We use tokens, and the tokens are a quarter each, yeah.
Now, every Tuesday night, Aftershock hosts a pinball tournament. Is there anyone in town who you would say is the pinball wizard?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, there's a lot of very talented people in town. We've got this one fella who comes every week, and he's in the top three every week.
Wow.
And, yeah, he's just very, very good and practices a lot, I guess. I mean, I see him at the arcade when we're not having our tournaments and stuff, too.
He has stamina.
Well, yeah, I just, you know, the reflexes you need for that and, the you know, like just the understanding of the physics, I guess. I don't know.
The magnet.
Yeah, maybe he has a magnet in his pants. He's like, he got it like a left lean, so instead of going straight down the middle, it goes to the left flipper. I think that's probably it.
Well, what's the tournament?
So every Tuesday between 6 and 7, you sign up and you warm up. It's a $5 buy-in, and then at the end of the night, the top three get a cash prize. We do like a three-strike knockout, so you play against somebody. If you lose, you get a strike, and you know, you play at least three rounds, and if you get three strikes, you're out. We just go until we have a winner.
And that is pretty cool. Well, back to Aftershock Classic Arcade is one of the sponsors who came together to make the Rocker Jamboree happen at the Burr Oak in Madison on Sunday, May 4th. It features legendary Madison bands who haven't played together for many years, including Last Crack, Magic Seven, Mind Ox, and Subatomic. It's a benefit for Mama Cares, a part of Madison Area Music Association that helps out musicians in their time of crisis, usually medical. And it's also helping me in kind of some of my medical crisis that I, as I recover from a serious medical incident. Brad, I can't thank you enough for Aftershock helping out. Yeah.
Oh, glad to, man. And glad you're still here.
I'm glad I'm still here.
Yeah. That was scary when I heard the news, man. I was like, oh, dude, that's my good pal.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. You were the one, you came out on Facebook and you had a very memorable post you made. Thank you.
You're welcome, man. Well, I meant every word.
And find more details on Aftershock Classic Arcade on Facebook. And Brad Van, thank you so much for coming into the studio tonight. We really appreciate it.
Sure, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Now, the Rocker Jamboree, as we were saying, was happening at the Burr Oak Sunday, May 4th. And one of the bands that's getting back together, Rob, is Mind Ox.
Yes.
And Mind Ox was a band that came about after Last Crack with Pete Ress on guitar and Butto on vocals from Last Crack. And we have another song queued up, and we're going to hear it for the first time here on Max Inc. Radio. Jefferson Pendarvis, Mind Ox. You're listening to Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
If I had my way, I'd make you love me every day. If I had my way, I'd keep you here with sturdy chains. If I had my way, I'd drag you through the